Yay.
So, hello, Joanna.
Hello.
What a wonderful blessing to have you here. So, I found out about you, Joanna, and saw you guys listening through one of the superheroes who actually has done Joanna's receiving project. I've just signed up, by the way, so I haven't gone through the whole thing, but I love the receiving project idea and the concept and the power of it. And Joanna is a coach. She helps people fall in love with their lives. She helps people receive. She helps people manifest things. I've just been speaking to her a moment ago, and she's got lovely energy, very happy being.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a lot of fun games for you guys today. And so in this call, we're going to be talking about the receiving idea, how we can start receiving more. And also, Joanna's going to tell you some of her best stuff to help you in your life. And also, business advice, what to do if you want to set up your own business, get on with your projects, make things happen. What she's gone through herself and how that can be useful for you. So, hello, Joanna.
Hello. So
Yay.
Excited and grateful to be here.
So... do you want to say anything else about yourself, or did I introduce you well enough?
You did a fabulous job.
Okay, thank you. So why don't we get started by talking about the receiving project and what it's all about and how people can benefit from that, and what's been your experience in terms of receiving, and you know, maybe people aren't into receiving and the whole thing around that, why it's so powerful.
Absolutely. So the Receiving Project is a 32-day free e-course. You get an email every day for 32 days, and it's really designed to assist people in strengthening their receiving muscle. Because we are, and I find in general, men and women all across the board are excellent at giving and have a tendency to struggle with the idea of receiving. And that can be, you know, receiving tangible gifts, can be receiving love, can be receiving compliments, can be receiving support and help and assistance. And I know that was at some point in my life, back in the day, was a real challenge for me. And I developed the Receiving Project when I was in graduate school at the University of Santa Monica because I wanted to learn how to take better care of myself. And I began it actually by giving myself a present every day, and that was awesome. And then I moved into giving myself a present because, you know, I would make all these plans, like, oh, I'm going to take fabulous care of myself. And I would do, like, one of the, like, 40 things I committed to. I was like, how can I do better here? And I was like, well, you know, I love presents, and I'll pretty much do anything for a present. So I decided I'll give myself a present. And then service is such a big part of my life purpose, and I wanted then to move into doing an act of service every day. And when that, I did that for a while, and that felt really, you know, kind of cemented in me, I thought the most daring thing would be to trust in the universe enough to deliver a present every day to me so that I could feel supported and loved. I had no idea the power of receiving at that point. What I came to learn in those first 32 days and in the years that followed before I ever really shared the project with anyone was just how utterly abundant the universe was. Every day, for years and years and years, I receive at least one present. But when I pay attention, you know, it's like presents every second. And some of them are, you know, physical, tangible objects. Right now I have a very good friend of mine painting my living room ceiling for me. And all I had to do was say yes to it. But I'm also aware, you know, it's a beautiful, breezy day here in Los Angeles. And I was just standing outside earlier, just letting the wind hit me. And it's like, this is a gift. You know, this for me is why I'm alive, to feel the wind. And to me, receiving is that thing that lets me push the easy button. Because life does get very busy, and taking care of ourselves can seem like yet another thing on the to-do list. So when I am really wanting to feel deeper in my connection with myself, deeper in my connection with Source, knowing that the gifts to buoy me up, to support me, to love me, to guide me back into the light, are just literally waiting for me to open them up and to unwrap them. And often that unwrapping is simply the acknowledgement. Oh, the wind is beautiful. Or this morning in the shower, I gave myself a scalp massage. And I'll do that all the time. But unless I sit and say, oh, this is what I'm doing. And I think on that level, receiving is really a powerful self-care tool. And I also think on the realm of manifestation, it's really been the thing that has allowed me to create a life that, I mean, I still wake up incredibly excited every day, you know, kind of pinching myself like, oh, I created this. What do I get to do
today?
Because we're really good. We are so good at manifesting and so crappy at receiving the things that we're creating. It's as if they don't show up in exactly the, you know, form that we had in our brain, in exactly the right timing. We kind of brush it off. And I work with clients on this all the time. I'm like, you have to start, you know, bringing in the little nooks and crannies, the little, you know, the little breadcrumbs. You have to follow the trail to the gold. Follow the little nuggets that lead to the treasure. And with each one, each little thing that you receive and experience, it's manifestation is amplified and just done so much more gracefully. And to me, it's the receiving of the manifestation that matters. Because I can create, but where I have struggled in the past and where I see a lot of people struggle is their willingness then to say, yes, I created this, and I'm going to own it, and I'm going to love it, and I'm going to live it, because I'm worth it.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is, you know, life is actually just such a gift. I mean, everything is a gift. And
yeah. We
talk about this a lot in our trainings, is that once we realize, you know, we are spiritual beings, we are beautiful beings, and we're basically here in the world, and everything is, in a sense, bonus. It's like everything is extra, you know?
Yes.
Like,
this
brand new, the reason babies are so attractive, and people love babies, generally speaking, they kind of light up the room. It's because they are in that state of wonder and of receiving and of everything is new. So they're like, ooh, 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 you know, and it brings us joy to look at them because they're in that newness stage, you know. And I feel that that's kind of been lost in our culture. We kind of take things for granted and we expect everything. The electricity should always be on, the internet should always work and blah, blah, blah. And then rather than just being in absolute awe and wonder, like I just got a new iPhone and I'm like, this thing is just incredible. I can talk to this latest version and get it to find out where restaurants are and like phone people up. And I mean, it's just, I mean, even any telephone is a miracle, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, everything is just such a wonder. But we have to be able to receive that and be aware of it. So I really, really, really deeply resonate with what you're saying.
Beautiful. You know, and I love what you said, just that state of wonder and how often I'm so aware in all the people that I talk to, and I'm blessed to speak with just so many people from all around the world these days because of the project, and how many people will say to me, you know, I just want to pay my bills. I'm like, so are you paying your bills? Yes. I'm like, well, that's a kind of a mediocre goal then, because it doesn't have the pull. It doesn't have that sense of wonder. There's nothing exciting about paying your bills.
No.
When my goal got bigger than paying my bills, then, oh boy, watch out.
Yeah, it's so much more fun that way, isn't it?
The
bigger it gets. And I, another thing, just to touch on briefly, what you were saying about we're good at manifesting but not necessarily good at receiving or appreciating the manifestation. And I mention this to people all the time as well, because we're like, I want this thing, I want this thing, I want this thing. And then it comes, and it might be in a slightly different color, a slightly different form. There's something slightly, slightly different about it. But, and so part of us can not notice what has just happened there, you know?
Absolutely.
And so then it's not received, and it's as if it never happened. And even if we do manifest exactly what we want, 100%, it's like, all right, well, what's next, you know? rather than celebrating it. Right? It's just amazing. And I think also the law of attraction and manifesting things, if we're not willing to receive things just in general, then even if we're trying to manifest them, they're probably not going to come very well because we're blocking them arriving. We're not open to having them, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And oftentimes, my experience is that they actually do arrive, and we're walking around with our eyes closed. So it doesn't even matter. You know, it's like the thing that you wanted could be right up in front of your face. And for some reason, and I think actually for a lot of people, it touches deep in issues of worthiness. You know, I get emails all the time about people's experience in the receiving project. And, you know, I'd say at least 50% of those emails deal with an experience of, you know, a challenge to their sense of worth. And it's like they walk around with their eyes closed, blocking, like you said, I mean, almost literally sometimes, the gift from showing up. You know, people, I need help doing this. Somebody asks help. Oh, I couldn't accept that. Well,
that's interesting. why do you think that is? What do you think? Because I know plenty of people like that as well who feel, oh, I can't. Like, there's every reason for them to be happy, but somehow they're still miserable.
Yeah.
For some reason. What do you say about that?
How do you help people? Yeah, I really do believe that we have, many of us, and I have been there, have really bought into the myth and the illusion that we're broken. And that, you know, I do believe that Earth is a school, but I think people take that, and that, like I said, I have, to this place where it's like, I have to learn my lessons in order to be good. And that there's something not spiritual, not whole, you know, not like loving about being whole. And about being joyous. And people really buy into that belief that they are not whole, not love, not just wonderful as they are. Is there opportunity to grow and to expand in your loving? Of course. Are there things that, you know, we can do differently and shift and change and have different adventures with? Of course. But I think that people have bought into really deeply this belief that they're a mess, that they're broken, that something's wrong with them, and that they have to fix it. And, you know, and I remember thinking that long ago. I talk to people all the time who talk to me about needing to fill up those holes. You know, someone's trying to fill up the hole with drugs. Someone's trying to fill up the hole with shopping, you know, with anything. But it doesn't work. And I started to think, maybe it doesn't work because there's not actually a hole there to fill up. We're just spilling it all over the place.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like if I poured a glass of wine on my floor, it would just spread out.
Yeah.
And be a mess. And like, so we create this illusion of mess rather than, you know, the truth and the reality that we are. And in that, we are loved and we are love. And we are, you know, limitless in our potential for that.
Yeah, isn't that wonderful? Yeah, I totally feel that. You know, it's when I think one of the biggest things in my life that helped me in the past is just acknowledging all parts of myself, and realizing it was all good.
Yeah.
And then I remember feeling such massive relief. You know, but despite all the things that I might have thought, oh, this is not right and this isn't right and I should change this, even though there's various things going on and things that I might like different, I just acknowledge and accept the wholeness of myself. And it just seemed to liberate me almost completely from negativity, by accepting myself. There's so much stuff dissolved immediately. There was a very powerful experience on it. So
yeah, I've had a similar experience, and it was just so liberating. It was enlightenment in a real sense, because I felt so light in my being. Like, oh, I'm not broken. This life isn't gonna stop. Because I think I had this belief, like I would keep working until one day everything would just be fine and I wouldn't have to work anymore. I was like, oh no, I just have to keep loving myself. Keep going.
I remember that one. I remember I was, I think I was in college, and working away, thinking, okay, when I finish this project, then I can do this other thing, then this is going to happen. And what I realized is that it never stopped.
Yeah.
It just never stopped. There was always a project after people after thing, and it never actually came to an end. And after about 4 years of trying to finish things, one day I kind of woke up and realized that it isn't going to end. So my whole approach needed to change because I was just going mad after that amount of time, you know, and it doesn't end. And our stuff as a human being and our whole picture is what it is, and it's all great. And then we can start actually enjoying that, and we can bring it all together and be okay with it all being that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and in that, it's like, if this isn't going to stop, am I going to be so relentless in my pursuit of what felt like perfection, but in hindsight, it's like, it was just pain. It was my pursuit of pain. It's like that canker sore in your mouth where you have to touch it all the time. Is it still there? Is it mm-hmm. still there? Is it still there? I thought, well, if this isn't going to stop, then I'm going to really start to have the best time ever. And make much more, consciously fun choices and get into my desire and my pleasure.
Mm.
And that made all the difference.
Yeah. that's the choice, to not choose misery and to choose, what actually works and brings you joy. What a complete transformation.
Yeah.
So just before we go into anything else, just maybe you could share some of your top tips for receiving.
Absolutely.
How can they receive? What things work well? What have you seen work in your program? What have worked for people? What have worked for you? Like the best top tips.
Best one, and that's how I begin the project, is to set an intention. Intentions are like magnets. And so to be very clear in the intention, I say it all the time, it is my intention to receive gifts of loving. And that kind of is my blanket intention for, a lot of days, just my intention to receive gifts of loving and then start to look for them. Another incredible tip is just to say thank you. It's like people ask me, how do I receive? I'm like, when something shows up, just say thank you. Be uncomfortable. Be unsure. Be all these things on the inside and just say thank you. Mm-hmm. Take it in and say thank you. Sometimes it's saying that to a person. Sometimes, I say it to the universe. Sometimes I say it to myself, or just to the driver who let me in on the freeway. Thank you.
Mm.
It's so powerful in our consciousness. It's such a powerful way to acknowledge that a gift is present.
Mm.
And I think the question I get asked most often is, how do I know it's a gift? And with that, it's like I always say, if it feels like a present, it's a present. If it feels good, then it's a gift. And so in that, it's like the tip is you don't have to receive everything that comes your way. Because sometimes things come your way that you're like, I don't really want that. And that can be, a book somebody gives you or, energy someone's passing your way or the kind of day that you're having. We really have the power of discernment, and that's our own gift. And I would say lastly, to really get into the energy of receiving, a fun game you can play, and I do mention this in the project, I think a little later on, is set the intention to receive a certain amount of presence during the day. And really stretch yourself, because what's the worst that can happen? You don't receive it. But to say, I'm going to receive 50 presents today. And to allow the universe to show up. And where you're literally just checking it off. And I mean, I've had people go for 100 and send me these incredible emails listing, the 50, the 100, the more that they have received that day. And it is amazing to know just how abundant the universe is and how fun it is. Who doesn't love getting presents? And
I love it.
If I was going to add one more tip, it's like just have fun with it. Don't go for necessarily anything specific right away. Just have fun. Set the intention and enjoy the gifts. It makes them show up so much more.
That's great. So, when you're talking about gifts and presents and receiving, give me some ideas of what that might be, because I can imagine some people think, well, you know, the postman needs to show up with this, like, thing with a pink ribbon on it and it has, like, gold jewels and stuff. And stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, that's, like, it's in our mind, we think gifts are wrapped in a box. I mean, to some degree.
Absolutely. So, I mean, and that's one way that they come. I love when they come that way. Don't get me wrong. I'd say most days of the week I don't get a wrapped present. I got a few this week, which was super cool because it's that time of year. But for me, presents come in a lot of different ways. So there's the presents that are part of our natural physical world. For me, you know, like I said earlier in the call, the way the wind blows and touches my skin is such a gift. Flowers, if I'm appreciating them and in that place of appreciation, are such a gift. You know, color is a gift. Any bit of the world that I can wake up in the morning and take a deep breath, such a gift. I've had food poisoning all week. I feel fabulous today. Like, every sip of water feels like a gift because it feels I feel healthy again. You know, there's gifts that I give to myself. So I still am in that habit of giving myself a present every day. And like I said earlier, I gave myself a scalp massage and I did some stretching, and that was a gift because I was just so conscious of how yummy and delicious it felt. Then there's, you know, the gifts that other people give you. They're often hardest to receive. They can come in the form of compliments. They can be, you know, random acts of kindness. Somebody let me in front of them in line earlier this morning at the market, and it was just so sweet. He saw I had only two things. He had a huge cart of stuff and, you know, just let me in. And it was just a really sweet, you know, moment between two people. That was a gift. The sweet chatter that I had with the checkout girl that I've gotten to know over the last 2 years was, you know, super sweet the other day. And then there's the assistance. Oh, can I help you with that? Oh, no. Often people beg off help, you know, whether they don't want to impose or they don't want to look weak. But it's another really big gift, you know, how people can be of service to you in the world. To me, like, those are kind of the gifts that really tend to show up a lot in every day for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, that really, like, what is wealth? This is a big question. You know, what is wealth? Everyone's like, I want to make money, and they have ideas of dollars and millions of dollars and stuff like that. Well, wealth is actually this experience that we have during the day. And so I totally, you know, feel in resonance with and agree with you about gifts being those little things, because they create a very, very, very rich, wealthy life to have those moments. You know?
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I feel that just shifting the framework and the context of what a gift is to a real gift, which are the things you're talking about. You know, like, someone might give you a physical gift which actually is less valuable to you than the gift you gave yourself or a compliment you got from somebody or someone helping you at the store, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important just to realize that there's constant gifts everywhere. So, yeah, that's great stuff. And the other thing I just wanted to appreciate you for is this thank you, because it's something that I'm pretty much doing this all day long, and it brings me so much joy, just literally wondering about thank you, and look at even just looking at things, thank you, you know, it doesn't have to, nothing is even happening, you know, we can just being grateful for the moment is a joy in itself, you know, like, without even anything in particular, I find it's a source of joy for me.
Thank you. It really, I find it too, it's such a fun, easy practice. And my experience is that it really amplifies the gifts that come forward. It kind of speeds it up because there's no lag time. I'm immediately in gratitude. How fun. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you. And then more stuff shows up.
Yeah, what a blessing. So anyone listening to this, you know, you guys can just really pay attention to all these different gifts that are constantly there and say thank you for them, and the happiness level will increase tremendously.
Amen.
Ah, yay. What a blessing. And well done, Joanna, for putting this course together, because, you know, it's just such a good example of a simple idea that's profound and powerful, you know.
Thank you.
And it's not super complicated and, like, you know, it's straight to the point, works well. Like, the only reason I'm talking to you is because someone did your 32-day program and said she was so stoked about it, so I decided to check it out and call you up and get an interview. So obviously you're touching hearts, you know.
Mm.
So that's great. Now let's talk a little bit about how you got into doing what you do and what you do now. I'd like to just start off getting an idea of just a brief idea of where you are now, what you do today, and you know, your plans for the future. And then we can go back and talk about how you got there, because a lot of people want to manifest wonderful things, wonderful lifestyles, wonderful service. And I know everyone listening to this is definitely in that category. And they're not sure how to do it. They're not sure how it works. And, of course, everyone has their own ways and means of manifesting things, and how it isn't really that important. But it's always interesting to hear the stories and to look out for common threads that run through most of people's stories. You know, just pay attention to those, because there's going to be a lot of jewels and a lot of wisdom and a lot of magical secrets that Joanna's going to share. Even though I don't know what she's going to say, I know she's going to share some secrets without realizing she's even doing it. And it's your job as a listener to decode these secrets, because they're implicit. They're kind of like they're hidden away, and they're there. And there's going to be more and more interviews like this. So just pay attention. Read between the lines. So, Joanna, tell us where you are now and where are you at? What's your life like? What do you do?
I love my life. So I am a coach. I help people fall in love with their lives. And that can be, you know, for a lot of people, that means creating a career that is really in alignment with their desires and their soul's purpose. For some people, that is doing some deeper healing work, getting into their creativity. A lot of times it's all of the above. To me, you know, I'm all about having your cake and eating it too. Because why would I bake a cake and not bother to have some? I will share it, but if I'm going to do the work, I'm going to enjoy the the fun of it.
So
I'm also an intuitive and a healer, and I incorporate that into my coaching work so that I really can assist people in finding their own intuitive voice and doing powerful clearing work in old belief systems and, you know, both physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual blocks to assist them in moving forward in true grace and true ease. My days are, I'm super blessed. I work from home. I live in Los Angeles. You know, so it's a lot of getting to play and write. I blog over at receivingproject.com, and I guest blog regularly for an amazing site called Kind Over Matter, which is a literal dream come true to get to share with that audience. It's amazing. And I love to write. Writing is one of those things I'm just incredibly enthusiastic about. It's how I connect to source and how I connect easiest to myself. So I get to do that most days of the week and play and enjoy Los Angeles and be of service, because, as I said, that's a very powerful part of my life, is being of service.
What a wonderful life.
Pardon?
What a wonderful life.
Oh, it so is. I mean, I do. I wake up every day very excited and, you know, look at my calendar and what do I get planned for today? It's giddy and giggly every day. Even when there are challenges, it's still so exciting to me that I get to be here and do this work and be challenged to grow in my loving even more.
Yeah, I think, you know, the real true definition of success is waking up in the morning and being excited.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, someone might have billions of dollars and they wake up in fear every morning, you know, and they're like stressed out. Well, that isn't well, because someone is, you know, they might have lots of money, but their health, they haven't looked after their health, or, you know, their relationships are screwed up. But to actually wake up and be excited and to be experiencing gifts and to be experiencing love, that's a huge success. And that's real wealth right there.
I so agree. And I think I wanted it for so long, and I would pretend, like I would act as if. If I just acted as if long enough, maybe it would happen. And it just wasn't, because I wasn't honoring what I really wanted to do. And as soon as I just was like, screw it, this is it, and I'm not messing up, I'm not failing, I don't really care, I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to do it till it works. It was like, as soon as I made that choice, it just got exciting again.
Yeah. And, you know, I just want to just briefly mention, there's a book that I remember reading years ago called by Paul McKenna, who's a hypnosis guy from England. He has a book called I Can Make You Rich. I lent it to Nick. He hasn't given it back to me, but it's a good book. And one of the things that stood out for me in that book is that he interviewed lots and lots of millionaires and billionaire people, I think, from the book. I think he quotes Richard Branson. And he remember him saying that for himself personally, he's of course a millionaire, and most of these very wealthy people, they actually consider the most rich things in their life things like listening to music or enjoying a meal with friends. Or, you know, going out and playing in nature, doing stuff that actually hardly costs any money, if any money at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the rich moment. So even if somebody manifests billions and billions of dollars and vaults of gold and whatever else, they're still going to be appreciating the magic moments in their life as the real riches. So I'm just mentioning this because I want to break it. Like, of course, I'm into financial abundance. I love having wealth. I love having money. I love being able to buy stuff whenever I want and things like that. I love it. It's great. It's part of receiving. But that in itself doesn't bring any real joy. Wouldn't you agree, Joanna? What's your feeling?
Absolutely. Because to me, happy and joy is a choice that I make every day.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times when I had every reason in the world from the outside to be happy but wasn't making that choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then times, especially, you know, at the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey where it was ecstatic every day. I mean, I was just a giggly, goofy girl bouncing around and thought, I have every reason in the world to be, you know, a hot mess right now. But how would that serve me?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you know, happy is a choice. You know, happy to me is the gifts, is the receiving, is those little moments, like you said, the time with my friends. What the money allows me to do is fabulous, you know, and that I get to do this work that I love to do in the world. But my happiness is a choice that I make every day.
And I'm sure you've got, you know, as a result of this, you've got abundance, financial abundance. And abundance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a funny thing. It's a consequence of not, well, people who are like, I want money, I want money, they generally don't get the money.
Mm-hmm.
People who are just into the joy of life and into service and into receiving and just being in that space, they're the ones who are just attract money.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
All right. So this is good. Just to clarify that, because mm-hmm. I want to just always be breaking that one, because so many people mm-hmm. saying, when are we going to send out surveys? What problems do you have? What can we help you with? Oh, money, money, money. And it's like, hang on, that's fair enough. We need to get that thing, Carol. But how to do it? It's a different way of looking at the whole thing. So let's go back in time.
Okay. I love this story.
Journey in time when you were not, or maybe you were always joyfully, blissfully happy doing what you love. Is that right? Or not?
No. Not
because if you were,
close.
then that kind of doesn't count. But she grew up blissfully happy and we had loads of money and she never had to work. That would be different. But if you weren't always like you are,
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on a time machine back in time and just tell us what you've gone through. And all you guys listening, listen for the secrets here behind the lines. Read between the lines. Okay, go for it.
Okay. So 2 years ago, I was working as a therapist. I had gone to graduate school. I went to the University of Santa Monica, got my master's in spiritual psychology, did another 2 years, because mostly I did another 2 years because I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. Other than I wanted to be of service, I wanted to use my intuitive gifts. It's like I kind of knew, but I wasn't ready to anchor into it. I wasn't ready to declare myself that. I was kind of skirting on the surface of it all. And every time that there was a failure or that's how I framed it then. It's like anytime things weren't going smoothly, I had the thought, well, if this is supposed to be, in quotes, then it should be easy. And so obviously, since there were challenges, can't be easy, you know, couldn't be what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'll be a therapist. So I went to grad school for another 2 years and became a therapist. And I sat in graduation and was listening to Jean Houston give an amazing commencement address. I don't even remember what she said, but I knew in that moment I would never actually be a therapist. I was like, oh, God, I've just went to school for 2 years and have been training and practicing, and what am I going to do? But lo and behold, I went on to work and was an intern for about two and a half years. And the whole time was miserable. I really wanted to like it. I loved being of service. I loved the people, the clients, but something was missing. And I was going to fake it till I made it. I was just going to fuck up and this was going to be it. 2 years, I cried every day on my way to work, probably at least for the last year, every day. Was miserable, so stressed out, and finally was like, okay, I'm going to get a new job because it's obviously the job that's the problem. Not me, not my path, not nothing. It's the job. So 3 weeks into this new job, so excited to be working someplace else, I was fired, which shocked me because I was always like, I'm a good girl. I do good work. No, you know, they wanted to move my office several hours away, and I said, I don't think I can do that. And they're like, well, you know, then you can't work here. And that was it. And I was driving home, and I called my mom, and I'm like, I think they're going to fire me tomorrow. And she said, well, if they do, you make this the best thing that ever happened to you. And I thought, holy moly, what does that mean? And indeed, they fired me the next day, and I went home and thought, okay, if this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to me, then I'm going to really start doing what I love. And I was going to, you know, at that point, I was going to embrace the fact that I was a healer, that I could create really powerful change in people's bodies and people's energy without touching them or being near them, that I was intuitive and could guide people on a journey. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do that, and kind of, you know, sent out emails. And, you know, I had a few clients trickling in here and there. It was sporadic at best. You know, went through my savings pretty quickly. My mother was, you know, thank God, just believed in me and does to this moment, you know, in a way that she was like, I will help you because this is important. You know, and I was, after a while, making enough money to eke by. But again, it was like, I just want to pay my bills. And it took a little while, but I really started to anchor into a bigger vision. And I began writing every day. And I would call what I did, they were my spirit writings, and I would connect deeply to myself and as deeply to source and just write. And what came through every day was messages about receiving. And I thought, well, you know, I used to do this with my clients as a therapist and have them work on receiving. Wouldn't it be fun if I send out emails to people that I knew? So I sent out a whole bunch of emails, and I honestly thought, well, I'll get about, you know, 10 people. I can beg 10 people. I was like, my mom, my sister, my best friend, my sister-in-law, you know, there's four. So I sent it out to everyone. I put it out to my graduate school, and within about 3 or 4 days, 75 people signed up. And I was like, whoa, what do I do? So I just started sending out emails a few times a week and led people on this 32-day process. And it just, it never stopped. People just kept finding out about it and signing up. I didn't have a website. I didn't have a Facebook page. I didn't have a Twitter account. I had, you know, my regular Hotmail email address. So I just, it kind of just, you know, by word of mouth kept going. And I, you know, I was like, whatever, I'll stop this. Like, I've stopped everything else. and I was working with, you know, and with a coach for a little while there, and she's like, oh, no, don't stop this. This is the, you know, thing that you need to keep going on. I was like, okay. So I just, you know, I built a little website. I kept everything as, like, podunk. And, you know, I mean, I look back at that first website. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it was so hideous. But it gave people a place to sign up and to learn about the project and just kept going and going. And I kept feeling this, you know, pull to step forward in a bigger way in my personal work with people and individual work. And I tried some things, tried different projects, and nothing really stuck until I met the coach that I work with now. And for me, that was a real turning point because it was a moment that I made a big, giant investment, both money and time and energy, into myself and my dream. And she just asked, you know, what do you want? And she's like shared that I could have a business that was of service to people in a really big way, and I could do it the way that I do it now, you know, and work with people in a, and ask them for a commitment of time, and dive in deep in beautiful projects with people, and bring all of my skills, so my counseling abilities, my coaching abilities, my intuitive abilities, my healing work, and just incorporate it all into who I am now. And I just, it's like since from that, I, you know, I really was like, okay, took off on, you know, running, have made a gajillion mistakes, but it doesn't matter. Because I, you know, I really promised myself that those first few weeks when I was fired, I remember standing in my kitchen, you know, doing some dishes and thought, failure isn't an option because the only way I could fail is if I quit. I'm willing to make a million mistakes. Whatever. Doesn't matter. But I'm never going to stop because nothing feels as good as this. And nothing ever did. You know, and these days I have passed, I think it was about a month and a half ago or so, over 1,000 people signed up for the project. Since then, like, I've had probably another 300 people have signed up for the project. And it amazes me at how many people find me, find the work, and are so willing, ready, and able to, you know, whether they work with me individually to create a life they love or use the project and springboard off of that into some beautiful experiences in their life. It's, to me, it's just such a gift, but it was a journey. and one I'm so grateful that I, you know, was offered the opportunity to embark upon.
Mm. That's wonderful. Yay. And just to mention a few things that stood out for me from listening to you. First of all, you had a coach.
Yeah.
Now, someone listening to this may have missed that, but there's some hidden things. You had a coach. Having a coach makes everything else much, much easier. Having a coach or having a mastermind group or having people who you can talk to who know more than you do about something, need help with. You know, and your coach could be a family member. It could be some, you know, with a superhero training, you know, your mastermind group can be your coach, or you can get coaching from other sources, from Nick or myself or whatever, or from Joanna. But basically the thing is that you had someone who knew more than you did. That was just slipped in there, but I just wanted to bring that out. That's an important thing, you know. And if you hadn't had that, I'm not sure you maybe even would have made a different decision.
Oh, maybe. I wouldn't do it without a coach. I wouldn't be here talking to you without my, you know, without the first coach who really encouraged me to do the receiving, to continue the receiving project. And I most certainly wouldn't be here without Michelle, my coach now. My commitment to myself that I made by working with her shines in all of the work I do. because it is what propels me. I made that commitment in
That's
a big,
powerful.
Juicy way.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Another thing you mentioned that stood out is that you trusted your feelings, basically. You knew where you felt good and where you didn't feel good. You could just tell in your heart and soul what was going on, you know. And you knew that it was right because it felt right. When it grounded in deep, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Like you felt it. And it came, and it brought, the other thing is it brought everything together. It brought everything full circle. You know, like all your skills, all your talents, all your inspirations, all your intuitive abilities. Everything is all your strengths, in other words, are all being used together.
Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like that is the greatest joy because it really never occurred to me that I could show up fully. I mean, and fully, fully human, fully divine, fully me, and get to do the work that I do. And it is, it's what feels the best. And I am a proponent of pleasure that, you know, I know that when I'm in my pleasure, it is what is best for me.
Yeah.
And it's such a great, like, divining rod. Like, I know, oh, that doesn't feel good. That doesn't bring any joy to me. Well, then something's up. You know, either it's not the right choice or I'm holding the choice in a way that, you know, that is in a negative way and it doesn't need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, in either way, I have to check in and see what the next step is because I only want to do what feels good.
Yeah, but that's a big deal right there. You know, a lot mm-hmm. of people, I think, under the belief that, you know, no pain, no gain, you know.
Yes.
So, but, you know, it's catchy, no pain, no gain. But actually, or you know, you have to, you know, work yourself. Like, I'm not quite sure the expression, but basically the idea is work yourself hard enough to earn your, you know, your vacation and earn
yeah.
your, you know, time off. You have to, like, if you're not working really hard and suffering for it, you don't deserve pleasure at the end of it. Like, you have to have pain. Deserve pleasure is basically the misunderstanding that a lot of people are under the impression is the way life is. But it's like more to the point is be in pleasure now, today, and let that, because I mean, how can we really have success if we're totally miserable? I don't understand that mentality. But nonetheless, good job that there's people like us around to live this way, and for you listening to that, to be doing that as well, and that becomes a good example for the world, which is great. So, Joanna, I'd love to hear some more about the challenges you went through and how you overcame them. Like, what would you say is the biggest challenge you had?
I think the biggest challenge that I had was at first really framing what it is that I wanted to do. And I think this I know comes up a lot with clients of mine is like, well, what do I call myself? Or, you know, I need a name for it. And as soon as I let that go, which took a long time, because it was like I needed to prove to myself that what I wanted to do was a thing, that it was real and valid, and I needed to explain it, rather than look at the benefits of what I did. Once I really owned that there were benefits to the coaching work that I do and the healing work that I do, and that people were moved in really positive and forward ways, I was able to be like, okay, it doesn't matter what I call it. I don't have to have a fancy job title or name or anything. I was able to, you know, come down into, you know, I help people fall in love with their lives. But I didn't have that when I started out. And I think a really big challenge for me was that I held for a long time this belief that I was lazy and undisciplined. People would look at me and be like, yeah, you're not lazy, but I never heard their feedback.
Right.
And it was so powerful for me to create systems and ways of working that worked for me so that I could know that I was, you know, really on purpose and on task and taking action. direction in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think for a long time and for a lot of people, it's like we feel we don't know if we're taking the right action. You know, I would do all this emotional work and be like, well, you know, I'm clearing away all these beliefs, but how come the money's not coming? It's like, oh, because I wasn't actually seeing clients or creating a way for the money to show up. You know, and I really learned that physical world results or physical world results come from physical world action.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a huge lesson for me because, you know, the challenge of not making money stinks. it's a lousy place to be. You know, I do, like I said, to me, happy is a choice. And whether I was making money or not, you know, I could find happy. And I really love the experience of knowing that my bills are paid. You know, I just spent, you know, a week out of town. I'm hoping to go away for New Year's. My house is, you know, heated and there's food in the fridge and my basic needs are met. And knowing that my basic needs are met and learning how to meet them and exceed them in a business way, so powerful. It was just, you know, learning that I actually had to start connecting to the source of income. I had to start connecting to the people who I wanted to work with. Huge challenge for me at first. And, you know, something that put me very much outside of my comfort zone. And I am now a huge proponent of stepping outside of your comfort zone because almost every challenge, if not every challenge I've ever had, was remedied by stepping outside of my comfort zone. It's like all of those challenges were just because I was, all I wanted to do was be comfortable and not fix the problem.
Interesting. So the first thing was not knowing really basically what you were here to do.
Yeah.
Clarity. And which I know a lot of people still, one way or another, having some challenges with. And then the other one was how to basically make money by doing the stuff, you know, because even if you worked it out, there's one thing having an idea and another thing actually being paid for what you do.
Exactly.
And like, there's a lot of people who are good at, say, like, they're good at photography or they're good at healing work or they're good at making sing or something like that, but no one, they're not getting paid anything. So how did you turn it from not from an idea to cash in the bank that you can spend?
I think the first way, you know, in all honesty, was finding that thing that just tickled my fancy. You know, it wasn't, I began this, you know, journey and creating an online presence and coaching and all of this stuff because it felt really good to me. Because doing the receiving project just seemed like a really fun thing to do. It wasn't my motivation initially wasn't, well, I have to make a lot of money immediately. Because if I really needed to make, you know, cash, I could have gone to work at Starbucks. You know, I could have gotten something to make that all happen immediately. We can make the money.
Yeah.
you know, it may not be the most fun way to do it, but we can almost always figure out a way to make the money. So take, you know, it was first really acknowledging that the idea that I had to be super motivating. And it had to be big enough. The bigger the dream, the bigger the gravitational pull towards it.
Yeah.
So I had to start. Oh, pardon?
I'm just going to stop there a second. Just really just congratulate you for that and just share that that's so essential, isn't it, to the reason for doing it isn't the money.
Yeah.
I think this is, if somebody is doing something, then their motivation is, I'm doing this so that I get cash or I get paid. It's very unlikely going to either work, first of all, or secondly, actually be sustainable, because what we don't want to do is build ourselves a trap where we've done something for the money. We might get some money. We actually pay what we do. Then you're stuck in the same stuff. You might just get a job in a bank or something. You know, you're going to think that way. So I think, that just wanted to reiterate that because that it came from joy, your idea. It didn't come from I need, I want cash. That's huge, huge, huge piece there. But then even lots of people have like wonderful ideas they're inspired about. But how did you then turn it into money? That's true.
So then I had to be brave enough to share it. I had to, like, get it out of my head and into the world. So some of that was sharing the receiving project. Some of that was really starting to tell people, this is the work that I do. You know, I'm a healer, I'm a coach, and, you know, put it up on the website, and I share it in the receiving project. And it was a big deal for me to start to claim that and to put it out in the world. And as I said before, like, my big money-making came when I invested in myself, when I made the decision that I needed to learn more about how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that came with a coach. So, you know, I met my coach and was like, oh, this is what I could do. I could do the work she's doing and have it be the way I'm doing. And that's when the money came. But it was really, like, before that, I had made that commitment and had been out there and, you know, being willing to get out of my comfort zone, be willing to make mistakes and let people know. And that's still, you know, it's now that I make enough money and I have a lot of clients and it's really lovely, it almost always boils down to me sending out an email or making a phone call to someone and saying, I'd love to talk to you about how I can support you in living a life that you're in love with.
Mm-hmm.
It's about me connecting to the client. Now, I know that, you know, however people do that, whether they do it online or they do it in person, it's like whatever works for you. I don't generally get a ton of clients who just randomly visit my site, but I do get clients through the receiving project. I offer a free session as part of the receiving project, and it's, you know, I've definitely, you know, a nice chunk of people come in because they've heard of me that way. But it, you know, it came with me getting out of my comfort zone and really asking the question, is this something you'd like to do? This is the work I do. Is this something you'd like to do with me? And from there, the money came. And I'm so grateful. It's one of those thank you, thank you, thank you things all the time that I was able to take that idea of, oh, this sounds like fun, and have the courage and the commitment to say, oh, so do you actually want to do this with me? And then they say yes, and we get, you know, we get to rock it then.
Yeah, it's great helping people out in that way, because, you know, you're helping them live the life that they love, that they fall in love with. What's better than that, really?
Yeah, I haven't found
it yet. I mean, what a gift to give, to, you know, to help someone receive that gift of a beautiful life. I mean,
yeah.
There's nothing quite like that, really. That's why I love this sort of kind of work myself, is because I actually can't think of anything of a higher value, a higher real wealth than enjoying your life. Because, I mean, that's what you have. That's what we all have, is we have life. And, you know, we don't enjoy it. It's kind of like just this constant misery, which is totally not cool. Whereas if we love life, then, you know, then, I mean, that really is what it comes down to. Everything could just be boiled down to, do you love your life or not, you know?
Yeah. I think that, you know, I hadn't really thought of it like that, but it's so true. It's like we have this one experience. There may be many more, but what I'm so sure of is that I have this moment. And I used to think, you know, that question was like, that meant I have to do something. It's like, I don't have to do anything. The doing is the bonus. And doing is how we create. And all of that is lovely. But I don't have to do anything. I can just totally be, you know, enjoy right in this moment. And I am.
Yeah, I can tell by your laugh. So let's get to a little bit more specific marketing stuff here, you know.
Okay.
So we've got, went through a process, got fired, went through a bunch of stuff, realized what you didn't want to do, worked out what you didn't want to do, came up with a cool idea, got a coach. So you have an idea, you got some skills, but there's no clients, right? So, you know, I share about marketing and talking about this myself, but I'm interested from your point of view, what you've done in terms of marketing, in terms of business stuff, like nitty-gritty business practical stuff.
Absolutely.
That has worked. And just before you share that, just wanted to really reiterate something you said, that at the end of the day, you're connecting with human beings. I mean, that was ultimately a big thing that changed, that you weren't connecting personally with human beings about what you can help them with, and then you started connecting with real people with real problems and helping them. I mean, like, that to me is marketing in a nutshell, is connect with real people with a real problem and offer them a real solution. I mean, like, that might sound like really simple, that somehow something can happen in our brain is like a missing piece or something, and we just somehow don't see that equation. But anyway, I won't say anything else. If you were to give someone the nitty-gritty, like, step-by-step what you've done that's worked, what would it be?
I always tell my clients, if they want to build an online presence, and a lot of them do, to create an interactive experience for people. So for me, you know, I came across the Receiving Project, and I would say find your message and distill it into something that people can have an e-course. So I have seen my clients go from, you know, just having like an e-book up, a free thing, to having an e-course where they're asking questions and you know, people are interactive. By the time I offer a free session as part of the Receiving Project, that I believe is on day 21 or 22, you've had 3 weeks of daily emails from me. You know me, you love me, you get my sense of humor, or not. But people have an idea of who I am by that point. They know the work I do. They know that I'm spiritual. It's like they kind of fall into my niche if they are ready to take that me up on that session. It's like I know that they're my kind of people already. Because if they have no spiritual perspective or they're not really interested in joy, then they've fallen off the, you know, the Receiving Project wagon, or it's just not going to tickle their fancy. So to me, like, the best marketing I ever did was creating a project that was interactive with people, that wasn't just you download this and you're on my newsletter. Because, like I said, because people got to know who I am. And I work with my clients often to create an interactive e-course that is very genuine for them. So it's not like, oh, I just want people to sign up for my mailing list. But it is, what do I want to share in the world? What's my message? And how can I offer a teaching experience of this?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I've seen it work wonders for people's businesses and people's online presence and community. I think the other reason... Oh, pardon?
Sorry. So the interactive component is that because lots of people have got mailing lists with autoresponders and whatnot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to mention something. What you've got, I mean, I haven't been getting your emails recently because I signed up the other day. I haven't checked it all out because this has been very recent. And I've just kind of glimpsed over it at this point. But I like the vibe, how you present yourself, and it comes across genuine and loving. So you've got a bunch of good information. I think and you've got a very simple idea that's very valuable. I think this is an important thing because someone can send out 100 email autoresponders about some random thing, and it wouldn't work because it's just a bunch of stuff. But you actually care about the people, and you're giving them something valuable, and they can interact back with you. I mean, like, I send you an email, and you immediately got back to me. So What do you mean by interactive? Is it like they email you back? Like, what do you mean by the interactive, two-way conversation of some kind?
I mean, in that way, absolutely. Like, I'm a big fan of the email project or, you know, e-course where they get something from you every day because people start to feel really connected to you. I'm also a fan, and I mean interactive, and, like, I often ask questions. You know, I've worked with some people to create videos, to create quizzes, to create things that invite people into the process. So it's not like an ebook where you're just reading it and then it, you know, sits in a folder. If you're anything like me, it just sits in a folder on your desktop. And, you know, occasionally I go and look at it. I have people who are like, you have done your Receiving Project 3 or 4 times. I just save all the emails and go through them. I ask a question and people respond back. Never occurred to me that, like, I would, you know, do this and people would email me back. But they do all the time.
Yeah. Because this is huge. I do the same thing with the various email lists I have. I'm always asking questions and wanting feedback. And I did recently a book launch, whereas I'm launching a book thing. And I said, what kind of stuff do you want? And within about, I think in an hour, I had about 200 responses from people giving me these long things about what they wanted, what they liked, what sort of things. I was like, whoa, this is kind of quite amazing. But just like that, there's all these people gone out of their way to tell me what they want and to give me feedback. And I'm like, this is good sign here, you know. And because they are actually people, I think this is something that we can forget in business or in marketing, that we're dealing with an actual human creature, shall we say, who is a feeling being, who likes to respond to things, because there's so much like, do not, you know those email addresses that come from like Amazon and banks and stuff, do not reply on, as the, like, do not reply at amazon.com or something, you know, so that's just like this one-way marketing that you don't actually resonate with. But yeah, that's great. You, rather than doing an ebook or something that just sits around, you actually are engaging with them regularly. They keep seeing your name coming up and they have an opportunity to connect with you.
And, you know, and then what I have, what I developed it, I think, in June of this year, and it's been so successful, is I started to do a daily email, and I call it the Daily Gift. And it is just, you know, it's a sweet little tiny short bit of wisdom or inspiration or a link to something funny or inspiring. Sometimes they're quotes, sometimes they're questions. And they get sent out every morning. I have a really high open rate for them. People email me back. If I put a question on there, I get a ton of emails. And it can just be, you know, it's a personal question usually. But so when for those people, it's like, you know, they're engaged. When I am trying to promote something, they're all over it. I recently just did a fundraiser and, you know, raised over $2,000 for a food bank. And did it, and like so many of those people were the ones who signed up and participated in the food bank and the raffle because they were the ones opening my emails, and they're so used to seeing me. And having that level of engagement with my audience, really building a community and a tribe, not just seeing them as like, this is my audience, but for me, it's like, this is my community. I have a, you know, amazing little Facebook group that's not so little anymore, and, you know, often I'm like, so what gifts are you receiving today? And, you know, we'll get like 10 people responding and more. And, you know, I posted something the other day and there was like 20 people. And it's amazing to me. And I'm so grateful to be part of the community and being responsible for that community. And so whether it's the receiving project that people are getting the emails every day and then, you know, offering them the daily gift with a lot of people take me up on. And it's free. It's, you know, it's just an email every day. Really helps to build the tribe, to build the community, for people to feel that they're a part of something, has been amazing marketing. Here's another thing that is part of the receiving project that's been really great marketing for me, is I ask people on the first day, if you have a website, send it to me. I want to learn about you. So people start to tell themselves, you know, about me, or rather the other way around. And I start to get to know them. A lot of people blog about the receiving project, and then I get other people coming in, you know, so naturally, just by, because honestly, I'm incredibly curious and very, very nosy. So that if they have a website, I want to know what they do. And if they're writing about me, I want to read it. So I make sure I comment, you know, and I'm a part of the community. And people dig it. But it really helps to build my mailing list. And from that, I get to know people. And when it's, you know, when I'm learning about them, it's so easy to say, like, hey, let's set aside 2 hours and talk. Like, let's just talk about what working together could look like or just what your future could look like. And people are like, heck yeah, let's go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. You know, you basically care.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, that's you can't fake that. You either care or you don't. I mean, that's just That's just what it comes down to. But the same, but the people I work with, I actually love them and care about them. And when I go to the beach, in Hawaii, it's just beaches everywhere. It's just like paradise. But I don't just sit on the beach just like willy-nilly, just whatever. I'm actually thinking, how can I help people? How are people doing? I have these long conversations with some of my team, like how are people doing on the training? What's going on? You know, because we actually care, genuinely. You know, and you can't fake that. So I think that's why this kind of beginning piece that you mentioned is, you know, to really do something that you're passionate about, you can put your heart and soul into. Because, you know, you have to sustain this. I mean, how could you personally keep sending out emails to people if you weren't interested in doing it, really?
Exactly. I mean, you know, it takes time. And I wouldn't do it if people weren't engaged in it. And I wouldn't do it if I wasn't engaged in it. And it's like I said, it is, I care a lot. I love the people in my community. It makes my life so much better. So to be a leader in that community is just a gift, because it really just means that I get to keep creating it and incorporating more and more yummy goodness into it. And it's, you know, it's delightful every day. You know, never, it's like I'm not one of those people, and no judgment towards it because I know it works, but I don't look at the SEO stuff. I don't do, you know, my website isn't optimized perfectly and you know, I don't have articles out in the world. I blog, and that, you know, is something that people really enjoy of mine and continue to, you know, help grow the community, and that's fabulous. But I never... It just isn't fun for me to do the SEO stuff. Goodness knows I had tried it. Probably one of those challenges that I've blocked out of, you know, trying to do all that stuff and realizing, but I just don't like it. And so if that's what success means, then I either have to make enough money for somebody else to do it for me or just forget about it. So I kind of chose forget about it.
Yeah, I agree with you. SEO, for any of you guys who don't know what that means, it means search engine optimization, and that's where people are trying to get their website in Google's top 10 so that people, when they type something in, they can actually see your site. Like if you type in Amazon's definitely going to come up with the top, you know. And there's, you know, different words like meditation. If someone might want to have their website be number one for the word meditation. But I've personally not bothered with that either. It just seems very contrived and left brain and manipulative, like writing articles using special keywords on purpose. And there seems to be like a huge amount of junk around this, just trying to trick Google and trying to trick things that's happening. But I think the word of mouth, I mean, the bottom line is if we really genuinely help somebody and touch their heart, they're going to tell their friends because they have been touched. I mean, we can't help it. Like with social features. If I come across something super cool, I want to know. I mean, the very fact we're having this interview actually is a you know, point in case.
Yeah.
That someone came to your work, it touched her heart, she had some results that she was impressed with, and she went out of her way to say it to me. I then went out of my way, based on knowing her, because she's a person who I know and trust, to check it out myself. And here we are, talking on the phone. So this is exactly the kind of magic that is going on.
And this isn't like the first time it's happened for me either. You know, like that, this is a blessed occurrence and something that, you know, happens semi-regularly in my life. Oh, will you write a blog post? Or can I interview you for my thing? I'm like, of course. How neat.
Yeah, it's fun.
But it's just, it's true. It's like the word of mouth thing. If you are of service and if you're genuinely, you know, inspiring, helping, doing, you know, that thing you love and people are responding to it, then it almost can't help but take off as long as you keep showing up. That was a big, you know, lesson. Like I just had to keep, being a part of the community, whether or not there were people in the community yet or not. I just had to keep showing up and doing what I do every day, no matter what.
Yeah, that's that. I think that ultimately is the key. So, So there you are, you've got a great idea, something valuable that's using your skills. You're connecting with your community, you're seeing it as a community, you're giving stuff for free, you're getting in people's, in their life via the emails. You're listening to them, and you care. And now, where's the money come from?
So the money comes from my coaching, and that comes from... You know, like I said, a lot of my clients I've met on the Receiving Project, and I offer a complimentary session. And if it feels like a fit, I am picky about who I work with because it is a really intimate relationship, and I want to work with people who are very ready to step into something beautiful and step into something new in their lives and that have, you know, that desire to be of service in their own way, that have a goal that's big enough. And so, like I said, more than 50 or 75% of my clients have come in some way, shape, or form through the Receiving Project. And the rest of my clients literally come from me courting them and meeting them online or in, you know, the real world, as we say, and inviting them into conversation and inviting them into a life that they're just going to fall in love with.
Mm-hmm. So let's just look at this, the exact details. So you're sending out a bunch of emails. Then at a certain point you say, would you like a free session?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a session, and then no doubt you deliver value to them in the session. And then,
always my intention.
Yeah, always to help out. You know. And then at the end you're basically saying something like, if you want more of this, would you like more? Here's what I do, something like that. That we
do. Yeah, I mean, that's often how it goes. sometimes I'll do, you know, honestly, because I've had more and more people recently take me up on that offer, sometimes I will just do a short session, get to know them, and then say, listen, I really want to talk to you more about what working together could be like. And then we have an even deeper conversation about what they want to create in their life. But it always is, it's a conversation, it's connecting one-on-one to the person, mostly because, like I said, I'm incredibly picky about who I work with. I say no to people often because they're just not ready. You know, I want to work with people who are ready. And I make that offer. You know, it used to be really scary, but to say, you know, this is what I do. 6 months of work. I ask for a six-month commitment. It's $4,500 for 6 months of coaching and magic making. Is this something you want to do?
I think that's also important that you don't just take everyone on, because I know from coaching myself, I have a very select few clients. I don't want lots and lots and lots of people because I haven't, frankly, haven't got time for it. One thing, and the other is that I want to really deliver massive, massive value and really go for it with those people and have, because the kind of work that I do is helping people get on with their, you know, their businesses and having, you know, success in their lives financially, as well as service, as well as, you know, their own personal life. So I want to really have them become leaders and role models. And so not everyone's ready for that. And I also say that they're going to have to do a hell of a lot of work. And they've got to be super hardcore. And if they're not really hardcore, and if they're not going to do everything that has been recommended, then I don't want to work with them. And it's the same with the superhero training. We interview people before they can join the training, because we don't want people to join the training unless they're absolutely ready, because it's going to be a problem for the rest of the community and a problem for them and a problem for us.
So
I'm glad that you're sharing that's an important piece. It's not that I want everyone, I get as much money as I can and just like get everyone, you know, that's not where you're coming from.
Like you said, there isn't enough time, and I require a tremendous amount of downtime and me time and play time and living my best lifetime. And I want to deliver, as you said, this is the most incredible journey and experience for people. And that happens through, you know, such individualized and personalized attention.
So you do 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's a good,
yeah.
A good solid amount of time. That's very good.
Yeah,
so,
I found that that really was just so evident when I was working with people and not asking for the commitment. It's like that's where the change would happen. You know, 3 or 4 months is when the change would happen. And tremendous amount of growth would happen. And those last 2 months of working together, you know, or not even, you know, but just at 6 months, it's like they were soaring. And it was just incredible. So I really like being able to ask for that commitment from people up front.
Yeah, I think that's great. Because it is going to take concerted effort over a long period of time. I mean, that's just the way it is in life. And I mention this quite a lot, that we live in a fast food, junk food culture. So
mm-hmm.
we have iPhones and we have internet and we expect to be able to get everything all the time. But when it comes to our lives, we sort of think we can apply the same kind of McDonald's drive-through policy to our life, which is completely ridiculous because you can't have a drive-through Big Mac for your Dharma. You know, that's completely... It takes concerted effort over a period of time and really going for it, making changes. So yeah, I think 6 months, I mean, our superhero training is 9 months just because we felt, well, we actually thought it would be 6 months, ended up with 9 months.
Yeah. 6 months just is
because,
my minimum.
Yeah.
That's as low as I'll go. You know,
yeah.
It's a minimum of 6 months. And most people, you know, stay on for longer because it is such a valuable experience. They've made such, you know, an intense and personal commitment to themselves and their love and their desires and creating them, you know, that once they're on the path, it's like, oh, no, not stopping now.
Yeah, that makes a massive difference.
Yeah.
So you've got a good product, but you give, and then you're very, very, very picky about people who want to work with you. By the time that they've gone through the give part of your marketing, shall we say,
mm-hmm.
they already know you, like you, and trust you.
Yeah.
And so you can easily, they know kind of intuitively what you're all about and what's going on, and that they like the idea of working with you. So then when you do work with them, that they already get a feel for you anyway. So you know that you're not going to have just random people who are disappointed or shocked or whatever because they already know you, you know?
Absolutely. And I, you know, I have a lot of conversations and, you know, check-ins and touch bases with people, and whether or not they become my client, they all, like, are part of, they're already, like, my people. You know, like I said, because they do, they know me. They know what they're getting into by having a conversation with me. They're aware
mm-hmm.
of the woo-woo factor and all that good stuff.
Oh, wonderful, yeah. We love a bit of that. So,
yeah.
So what would you say is the greatest thing to avoid? What's the biggest thing? Someone starting out, you know, biggest one or two things.
Biggest thing to avoid is trying to pretend that things feel good when they don't. So, you know, I've recently was like, I'm going to do a group. Now, I've done groups with other people and facilitated them, and I love it. But I could feel inside like this was a should. I was doing this because I thought I should offer a group. And it took me a few weeks of, you know, filling it, and I was like, I don't actually like doing groups by myself. I like co-facilitating groups, and that wasn't an option for how I had set this up. And, you know, I was just like, nope, if you want to work with me individually, we can work something out. But it was so powerful even now to be like, yeah, I wasn't going to pretend that I was going to do something that I didn't want to do. So I'd say get away from the shoulds, get away from the pretending, and go with what feels really good. That will always lead you in the right direction. The other thing I would say to avoid is not taking care of yourself. Being an entrepreneur can mean, especially in the beginning, you know, work, 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 work. And I remember I was doing a friend and business partner of mine did a telesummit, and it was fabulous. It was 6 days long. We had like 30-something speakers. It was incredible. And I was on go mode for, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks. And got so sick, you know, and it's like I wasn't taking care of myself. And so I couldn't market. I couldn't build my business. I couldn't have conversations. I couldn't, you know, do the prep stuff for the telesummit. Thankfully, I was healthy by the time the summit started. But had I taken the time to really remember that I am my best instrument, in fact, I am my only instrument, I am my business. I do, you know, whether or not I have help, I am the one who talks to my clients. I am the business. So taking care of myself was and is the best thing I can do for myself. Plus, it gives me a real, you know, platform to stand on when I talk to clients. It's like, this is what I do. This is my life. It's not just bull. It's actually how I live. So those would be my two things to avoid.
That's great. Great tip. Great tip. Yeah, it's huge problem when we overextend ourselves. So this is great. Anything else that comes up for you when you think about business, any special secrets you've learned, and anything old that just comes up as like any final tips or ideas for someone who wants to set up their own business, even anything around spirituality and business? Because, you know, some people think, you know, you shouldn't charge any money for stuff that's in any way spiritual, you know.
I'm not a believer in that. And here's why. You know, people have said to me, well, you have a gift. Why are you charging for it? And I say, yeah, I have a gift. God gave me a gift. God gave you a gift to go out and make something of it. We all have, you know, talents and gifts and things that we are, you know, apt to, you know, to do. But I have put in a tremendous amount of time, education, experience, learning. I mean, I have my master's. I have two master's degrees, one in spiritual psychology and one in counseling psychology. I'm a fully trained marriage and family therapist in the state of California. And I have gifts. Some of them are spiritual. Some of them, you know, are, I can put my lipstick on without looking in the mirror. It's like silly gifts. But they're gifts that I was given to make something in this life, to create in this life. They weren't gifts that I'm required to share with anyone. I do because I love to. But that's it. And for me, it's like that's the spiritual connection. It's not that I was given this gift and must pass it on. The other thing in that is like in the spirituality, you know, one of the things I shared in the beginning of so many people on the spiritual path have fallen into this pet trap that we're broken people and we're here to fix ourselves. And I find that mentality often leads to a mentality of poverty because we're not good enough, so we can't be wealthy. Let that go. Spirituality has nothing to do with how much or little money you make. If you want to have money, if that's in your pleasure, if that is a desire of yours and feels yummy to think about having that experience, then have it. Because, yes, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, but we're not here to transcend that human experience. It's like, you know, I wouldn't wait on line at Disneyland for hours to get on the roller coaster and then close my eyes and pretend I'm on Small World. You know, I'm going to open my eyes, throw my hands up and scream and have the best time ever. And to me, that is the point. It's like, as if I waited on this line to incarnate into this planet, it wasn't to hurt. It wasn't to have a crappy time. It was to have a lot of fun. And to me, that's the best spiritual experience you can have, is just to have the best time ever.
Yes, yeah, so true. And I actually read something from someone about this that I thought was quite interesting, that if that's, you know, if it's true that we have gifts and we should just give them for free, then everybody should be doing it as well.
Yeah.
Like firemen, policemen, doctors, lawyers, you know, musicians, everyone, actors, people working in shops, you know what I mean, working in retail, making clothes, everything. Yeah, then if that's the case, then it should apply to everything. you know. So if you're going to, do you see what I mean? That was just an interesting thought around that. Like, yeah, okay. But anyway, people listening to this don't have that problem. They believe in investing in themselves, investing in taking their life to the next level. I mean, I think anything of value is worth investing in, really, in whatever it is, as long as it gives. My rule of thumb is, as long as it gives me back more than it costs me, then it's good. You know, then it's an investment, because I'm going to get a return. So if you help someone reach and change their life in a big way, you know, they have the tools and the ability to really make a difference, and actually make a difference, that's massively valuable. And,
yeah.
Any other last sort of thoughts on anything regarding marketing or receiving or anything that comes up as final thing?
Cap it off, it's like if that is just really your desire and your pleasure to move forward in, you know, creating a business and sharing your gifts in the world, then yes. It's like yes. Go do it. Take that idea that, like, nothing is going to stop you, that real failure is tantamount to quitting. And if that's, you know, that's your choice. You never have to quit. It can go big, it can go small, and to really embrace messing up. Because some of the biggest, you know, mess ups have, you know, on paintings or in life and anything. It's like, oh, I made a mistake and I made something really magical out of it. Who knew? You know, it's like, just make a mistake. Who cares? Let go of that, you know, need to be perfect and embrace that fact that you're just going to mess up every so often. You're going to have challenges. It's just going to be the way it goes. So embrace them and go full force into it and just have fun. The more fun you're having, the more money you'll make. I see it. I mean, I know it in my life, and I see it in my clients' lives and my friends' lives. And every time, the more fun you have, the more money you make.
Yeah, it's so true. More fun you have, more money you make, more abundance comes. It's a funny irony, but it actually, because a lot of people don't believe that's possible, but that's definitely been my experience.
What a wonder.
So, Joanna, you've got your website, and we're going to have a section where people can find out more about you and read your bio and go to your website. What's the called website again?
It's receivingproject.com.
The receivingproject.com. And yeah, would you love to share a few other things related to that and what you do so people can check it out more?
Absolutely. So you can go to the Receiving Project. There's ample places to sign up for the project if you want to play in that. You can also sign up on there for the daily gift, and that way you get an extra little present every day. I tell people it's the way to guarantee you get a gift every day, because I send one out every morning, and it's just beautiful little emails, real short, full of sweetness and goodness and love, straight from my heart to yours. If any of this stuff sounds interesting, and you would like to chat with me about what working together could look like or just what falling in love with your life could look like, I love to chat with people. We can set up a time to have a really great conversation. And I find that people, whether, again, they work with me or not, the conversations are so powerful because it gives people a jumping off point into some major creative magic. And that's what I'm all about. And I help people create businesses, create coaching practices, create relationships, with themselves and with the divine, with other people, and with their creativity. It's beautiful work. So if that sounds like something fun and you would just like to talk, please give me an email at joanna@receivingproject.com. And otherwise, I'm also on Facebook. I hang out there all the time. Love to connect with my community, so you can come play there too. And that's me.
Okay. That's great. So, well done. Well, this has been a joy having these beautiful moments to share with you and to connect on this level. So let's, why don't we just take a few moments, Joe, before we finish, and would you like to guide us in some kind of thought, contemplation, meditation of
Absolutely.
Receiving? Do you do something like that? That would be nice.
Absolutely. So I'm just going to invite everyone who's listening, just take a really yummy deep breath in. Gently close your eyelids if they're not already. And one more beautiful breath in. And just come present into the moment. I invite you right now just to become aware of what feels good in your body. Is there, perhaps your whole being feels yummy? Maybe it's how soft your skin is. Maybe it's the curve of your neck. Maybe it's the beating of your heart. The way the air glides down your throat. Find a point of yumminess and know that is a gift. A gift from your body. A gift from the universe. A gift from yourself. That you are here in this sacred present moment that you have expertly created to be full of gifts. And as you sink into the gift of beauty in your body, I invite you to become aware of the other gifts that are present in your life just in this moment. Perhaps it's the way the sun is streaming in through the window. Perhaps it's the warm blanket that surrounds you, or the roof over your head. Perhaps it's the laughter of your children, or the smell of yummy food cooking. Perhaps it's just knowing that you can take the time out of your day to connect with yourself, with us, the universe. And just allow the gifts to make themselves known. And know that with each gift that makes itself known in your consciousness, you are receiving it. Just by knowing and acknowledging, you are receiving. And your job, your beautiful job, is just to say thank you. To know there are many opportunities where you will be the giver. And in this moment, you just say thank you. Thank you. With each breath, just feel the thanks radiate out and in. As more and more gifts become aware in your consciousness. And allow your heartbeat to beat words of thanks. And gratitude. And take one more really yummy deep breath in. Oh, and one more big awareness of the gifts that are present. And know that as you open up your eyes, even more gifts become aware. More gifts show up for you every moment. In meditation or in action, there are gifts. Thank you for letting me share this time with you. It is a gift for me.
So beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So
my
much
absolute pleasure.
Yay. And, Well, I'd look forward to having you again sometime.
Anytime. This is fabulous.
Yeah, that would be great. And one of the things I'm thinking of doing is opening it up to our superhero training people to ask questions to our speakers like yourself. Would you be open to that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Great. So if anyone, you know, listening to this has any questions specifically about Joanna, her story, what she went through, anything about business, receiving, whatever, just put it in the, I think there's going to be a link underneath this audio, and you can just put it in there, and then we can, at some point in the future, have Jana back, give us the update, what she's doing, and answer some questions. That was fun. All right, so thank you so much for now. And I'm very much looking forward to connecting again, and looking forward to getting more emails from you on your wonderful receiving project.
Mm-hmm.
Great name, by the way. Really succinct and to the point.
Thank you.
And, yeah. So thank you so much, and I look forward to sharing again with you soon.
Me too. Thank you.
All right. Love you. Yay.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, how fun.
That was really fun.